Hello, and welcome to the Path of Power radio show with Galexis. My name is Ginger Metro, and I channel Galexis, who will speak with you today. For those of you listening who don't know Galexis, they are a group of beings from various levels, dimensions, and star systems who speak as one. I will go into trance shortly, and there will be a moment of silence, and then Galexis will speak. They will first give a short message for you, and then they will open up the airways for your questions. So you have an opportunity to call in and have Galexis address whatever topic is of interest to you. The number to call for the U.S. and Canada is 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. If that line doesn't work, alternate numbers are available on the Channel 2 page that's there in front of you. For more information on Galexis, please check out our website, GalexisSpirit.com. That's GalexisSpirit.com. GalexisSpirit.com. Okay, so I'm going to sign off here, and I'm going to go into trance now. And so remember, there'll be a few seconds of silence, and then Galexis will be with you shortly. Enjoy the show. All right, we are here, and we are Galexis, and welcome. Today, we're going to talk about a secret of success. So many times, people learn about success through reading success-oriented books or going to seminars about creating success. So much of the time is spent in teaching people how to invoke that law of attraction, or to visualize appropriately, or in a more mainstream kind of sense, how to do the nuts and bolts marketing and strategies for success, how to network, how to prepare your materials, how to get it out there, etc., etc. But a lot of times, the success that people are looking for can be rather elusive. And sometimes that's because when a person gets a going, some kind of business venture or creative project that they are desiring to manifest into a successful experience, they fail to think about how to move the energy through that whole process. Most people tend to think that from the initiation of the project to its fulfillment, or the place of quote-unquote success that one is aiming for, that there is a kind of a just gradual build-up, that hopefully you can kind of get in there and soar to that success and ride the crest of the wave. Now, that happens sometimes. But very often, people who have those extreme heights right off the bat very often will have a drop afterwards and not know what happened to them. There are waves that occur in the process of success. Waves, energy waves, we'll call them energy waves because in a sense there feels like the project is coming alive, that it's gaining energy, that people are hearing about it, that its energy is expanding and spreading and the vision of it becomes more radiant, more beautiful. But then there are dips. There are waves, higher waves, lower dips. And sometimes these are not understood. And most people, when they hit one of these dips, they get rather panicky. Oh my gosh, maybe I didn't do it right. Maybe I'm not going to be successful. Maybe I have to try harder. Maybe something's wrong with me. And they will have a tendency to go and try to find the cause of the problem, try to fix it, or worry about it, or fret. They will wonder, what happened? What happened to my success? Where is it going? Because success can be launched tremendously dramatically. But you only hear these stories, you know, with rags to riches people. Most of the time you hear the stories of the slow building and paying the dues year after year after year until the success. How do you manage that period between the launch of your successful project? You know, between the launch of the project and the culmination and the manifestation. How do you deal with the dips? How do you deal with it if it doesn't just keep soaring higher and higher and higher? A lot of people, if it soars too high, too fast, will crash and burn. They will have a sense of, and you see it in the entertainment industry, a kind of album wonder for a rock band, let's say, or an artist or a actor who makes a big splash hit in a big movie or a big event, and everybody's thinking about them. Their name is all around the place, and then all of a sudden, everything that follows seemed to collapse. Well, you don't want to fall into that kind of a trap. There is a secret to keeping that energy caught, keeping it moving, keeping it massaged so that it can unfold into manifestation success. Don't worry. Don't panic. Don't judge. Don't freak. Don't go and look for causes. Most of the time, it has to do with the energy of momentum. Now, for you to have a success that's really grand, that's a type that you want a success you can lean on. You want a success that has a continuity, that has a continuance, that has a continued expansion, so that you can rely on a certain level of success without it falling through the floor or having a situation that creates a lot of shaking off and disturbance and having to rethink and replan and rush around and try to fix things. You want something that has a sustainability, all right? In order to do that, you have to create a momentum. There is a momentum by your visualization. If you use, for example, that law of attraction that is so talked about so much, that is so popular on the airwaves now, you're going to do visualizations. You're going to feel that success. You're going to claim that success, right? And you're going to also want to see yourself capable of having that success. Now, we would say that the first secret of success is to have an image of yourself that's large enough to contain that success, full-blown, the way you want it to be, the way you dream it to be. Now, we're not saying the level of idealistic fantasy. No, we're talking about what looks feasible, maybe within 6 months to a year. Sometimes it takes about 6 months to get a momentum going at the minimum. Now, that's consensus reality figures. That's kind of ordinary mainstream reality energy. You can get something going perhaps in about 6 months, and it can perhaps catch in. But what you're looking for is to be able to expand the energy of your project or of your business or of what it is that you want to manifest into success. You want that to go expand to a certain point where it will be there so often and it will repeatedly be there over a period of time that it will catch and it will not come down any further. It will not drop below a certain level. When you have the waves, they go up way above the line and you go, yay, yay, it looks exciting, looks potential, it looks like everything's going to be on track, and then it goes down under the line. You say, oh, what's wrong? Important is to remember that if your self-image shrinks at that point, then you fail to hold on to the energy that surged to the peak. You need to keep your energy into the project, and you do it two ways. The first way is to keep your image expanded, claiming that self that you are at the level of success you're looking for. You do that by just kind of stretching your energy field. Imagine yourself 20 feet tall. Claim that you're a powerful reality creator. And this is your playground. This reality is the place for you to play, the place you want to explore and create your success. Then, the second piece is to recognize that when that dip comes, because it will come, it's not a straight line going up. It's going to have a dip. When the dip comes, you know that that's the time to really expand your self-image. That's it. It's important to not judge yourself. It's important to not go running around panicky trying to fix anything. Remember that there's an energy that's going in waves. It's pulsing. And what you want to do is to expand that image of yourself and hold the picture of what it is that you want and claim it and claim it and keep imagining it until you can expect it and start to anticipate it again. Now, there may be certain errors you're making. That's not to judge yourself by, but for yourself to get the messages, and you will get the messages. If there is there a setback of any sort, you'll notice that your reality will send you plenty of messages about how to respond, what to do. It will show you this, it will show you that, it will get you feedback. Your reality gives you feedback, not to give your power to that, but to use it, to massage it, not to embarrass or shame yourself, not to beat yourself up, not to push and drive yourself harder, because, dear ones, success is not made by pushing and driving. Success is not made by long, hard hours. It's made by working less, but smarter, but more expansive. That's the second secret of success. Don't work longer, harder hours. Because as soon as you do that, you are basically admitting that your self-image isn't up to snuff, that you have scarcity of time, scarcity of money, and that you're fearful. And as soon as you hold on to that energy, you create realities that are reflective of that. So hold that self-image. And remember, when the dip comes, hold the energy. Hold the image. Respond to your reality. And what you'll find is that if you'll do that, then it's as if your reality will say, okay, you don't want to drop it like you have in the past. You don't want to kind of close out this one and say, okay, forget it, I'm going to try something else. Oh, you really want to manifest this one. And the energies will start to pull in again, and you can go up perhaps to a higher peak. Then the dip may be lower next time, and then the peak may be higher. And the dip may be lower. Eventually, it'll cross a line, that bottom of the pit. You know, see, it'll go above the line. It won't go down beneath the line of where you hold the financial level or you hold the level of success you consider the minimal necessary. It's important to celebrate that. Absolutely, when you're starting to notice that it's catching. Okay, you've got the bottom line. You've got the minimal. Okay, now keep stretching. Keep stretching so that the peaks can continue to get higher and the pits don't come down as far. You start making more and more and more as you begin to dream, as you begin to see more, as you begin to own your reality and see that the success that you have engendered is sustainable. All right. So we want. The lines are open now. If you want to call in a question to us, we gave the number. The channel gave the number earlier for you. So please feel free to call in and ask us a question on any topic. We have found that people who actually can work with the peaks and the valleys and don't panic can really kind of pulse these peaks and higher, and in a sense can hold a greater confidence. And you know, if you have great confidence and you can anticipate, you know, that you're going to have magic, that you're going to have more success, that doors are going to open for you, that that's just what it's going to be like, that that success you're aiming for is natural to you, then it will sustain. It will absolutely be able to catch. Once that momentum catches, You just build on it. The momentum itself then becomes something you can lean on, something you can rely on. And if you decide to go into another creative project later on, you take that momentum you've already established and kind of just shift it over to the new project, because you've already got that momentum. If you have a momentum in some other area of your life now and you're starting a new project or beginning a new phase for your financial success or some kind of creative project to culminate in a great manifestation, you can also move any momentum you already have over to the project that you're building. Now, this is called a creative cycle, and it's noticed in perhaps like the film industry, in which there's all this work is put together on a movie. There's the screenplay is written, and the actors are chosen, the scripts and so on are written out, and the scenery is figured out, and the costumes and et cetera, et cetera, and everything's figured out, and everybody's gathered together, and all the crew and everybody is put together and into this great experience. And it pushes, it moves, it flows through several months or whatever through the filming of the movie. And then once it's done, the film is cut and edited and worked on in the lab and so on, and the finished film comes out. But most of the people work on the film for a period of time. It's not a continuous project that goes on for years and years and years, you know, unless you have sequels, you see. But you have that, and then there's this period where you rest. When you rest after a project, it does not drop the momentum. It does not destroy the momentum. Unless you go too long, unless you don't trust the momentum, unless you somehow or another feel that you've lost it. If you feel you've lost it, you probably are feeling it drain out of you, the power and the confidence that you built up there. But a creative project will have the valley of the rest and the recuperation and the regeneration and the beginning of the creation of the next project. A creative person will have many cycles like this within the momentum and the building of a creative manifestation. There'll be rest or pauses, and then there will be pushes and drives and expansions. So you can have many of these pulsing over a period of months to really produce something of great value. All right. So, we haven't had anyone call in yet, but you feel free to call in. We're going to move to another topic.
Caller on line one.
Oh, all right. There's a caller, so fantastic. So, hello, this is Galexis.
Hi, Galexis. This is Connie.
Well, hello, Connie. What a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you so much. Well, this is slightly off topic, but there may be some overlap here.
Well,
you told me a while ago that I hit some very strange places this year. And I think I'm in one of them now.
Mm-hmm.
whatever spiritual menopausal state I was in before, it's blossomed into hot flashes and a lot of fear and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing some hormone testing soon and taking some progesterone cream in the meantime, but the fear is not abating. So from a creator point of view, I can see that this could be some of the purification that I'm going through that you talked to me about before. And I'm thinking
yes.
that this fear has been inside of me for many, many years, and as I've been ending lots of old patterns, this may be also one of those are you sure kind of challenges.
Yes.
So I really don't want to buy into this fear. It's important to me, but it affects me so physically, it's hard to maintain balance. Can you tell me what's going on?
All right. As we look out your energy field, we can see that you're actually doing a very admirable job despite all the physicality symptoms that are going on, trying to hold steady and trying to get a sense of grounding and emotional reality for yourself. And you're actually doing a pretty good job of that. But what we're seeing here is that the shift that you had on the emotional level and the circumstances around your life have, in a sense, thrown your hormones off of kilter, which is aggravating your physical body. We would recommend that you go to a doctor who specializes in these bioidentical hormones and make sure that you also have the correct balance of estrogen as well as progesterone?
Yes, I've started that process now.
All right. It may take about a month for that to kick in. And, of course, it's also an experimental phase. As you go through a lot of changes, your hormones go through a lot of changes. And this is at any time of life, not just menopausal. Menopausal, it looks more, you know, dramatic. All right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Make sure that you get a good, we know you are in a good balanced diet and get and so forth and so on. Make sure you have the proper balances of fats and carbohydrates and proteins for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Right.
So we would sense that what's going on here outside of the physical stuff, because we sense that if you get that estrogen and that progesterone balanced between them, it's going to make quite a bit of difference for you.
Yeah.
However, it may take a little while before that kicks in. In the meantime, you want to address the fear issue.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the fear issue has to do that this is a time in your life in which you have opened a door to what the consensus reality calls an aging program.
Hmm.
All right? It means that you have to look at the limitations of belief that your culture has placed upon, let's say, women in menopause.
Yes.
All right? And there is a part of you that is feeling a sudden kind of decrease in future. You know, that comes with that. It's like, oh, I don't have as much time left.
Right.
I better get my act together now.
Right.
There's a greater sense of urgency that's coming in. And we'd like to suggest that as far as dealing with time is concerned, one of the ways to deal with the fear of time scarcity is to let yourself in meditation keep tapping into what we call the time of infinity. The time of eternity, because time, there is really no scarcity of it. It's a concept. And if you are buy into the scarcity, it will run faster for you, which scares you more. You understand?
Yes.
All right. And so somehow or another, you're saying, okay, I don't have as much time to kind of go through stuff and unfold it as I did before, and I should have already gotten it because I've gone through cycles like this before, and I've done all sorts of processing, and I've done all sorts of evaluating, and this is still going on. Why is it still going on? I've done all this work, all right?
Yes.
But you see, when you add the insert of the belief about time and aging and life, and this is the way it's got to be, and so on. Even if on a conscious level you're not necessarily that panicked by it, it's a call for you to break free of the limiting time concept of the short lifespan that your consensus reality assumes that you're going to have. You see, you wanted to have, and you desire to have, a good, healthy life and extended lifespan.
Yes.
And you have the capacity to have that, to live much longer than normal. Right?
Okay.
But this is one of those gateways in which, at this point, you have to come to a greater sense of peace about time, because it's the time scarcity hook that holds the aging programs in place.
So is that feeling that, you know, I'm too late for a lot of the things that I wanted to accomplish?
Exactly. That's the feeling. It's too late. I should have done it already.
Yes.
And you can beat yourself up about it.
Yes.
Golly, I haven't done it yet. What's wrong? You know, when am I ever going to do it? Am I ever going to do it this lifetime? Panic. You can get into that kind of place. Dear one, there is plenty of time. You've got loads of time.
Well, the fear often, I could nail it down to a bunch of different kinds of topics, but it really is under the main context of the unknown.
Right.
And,
well, you know, when you look at the unknown, what does your consensus reality tell you about it? What's the program? It's scary, isn't it?
Yes.
Some horrible something may happen.
Yes.
And it could happen 5 minutes from now. Any moment. You know, now that you're older, quote unquote, you're more subject to, you know, a heart attack, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or some kind of horrible disease. Or what if you fall and break bones? You don't mend as well as you used to. Blah, 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 blah. You get
right.
that?
Right, right.
So, in a sense, you suddenly are seeing yourself as more fragile.
Oh.
All right? Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you feel you an urge that you've got to push and go faster to catch up.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
This is being caught in a box of time scarcity. And this is particularly the focus we would suggest you put your attention onto.
Okay.
It's breaking this whole sense of urgency and being late. Are you late? No, you're not late. You know, one of the interesting things about embodiment and incarnation is that at any given time, you are in the really doing the most appropriate thing for you at that point in your life. If you should have, or you were supposed to, or you had chosen to have some kind of grand success that was really important to have, you know, 10 years ago, you would have created that. But you wanted to wait until time was more flexible, till reality was more malleable. As it's getting more and more malleable as you go, day by day. It's got more freedom to explore, more possibility of change than ever before.
Okay.
And it's chaotic. That's the unknown. But you see, the unknown needs to have a vision on your part where there is something that you can attach to on the other side of the unknown, a place to land, you might say.
Okay.
All right? And so look at the place that you're going to land. That's a place where you're feel good about yourself, you feel happy, you feel a sense of fulfillment, you feel a sense of enrichment, you feel a sense of love, success, and empowerment. You know, the good, juicy stuff. Imagine that up about, you know, let's say a year in the future.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Just to kind of put it out there a little far, just so that there is a kind of a space for you to imagine, hey, you know, there's a space here for me to take a big leap, and I could leap anywhere. But here's where I want to leap to. You
okay.
see?
Yeah.
And I want to leap there. Now, you may or may not reach there, but if you have an intention to leap and land in this wondrous, delightful, fabulous, empowered space in the future, you more likely than not are going to at least head in that direction. You may jump, you may reach just a little short of it and see a lot of other things you want to do too and add to it and so on and massage it and shift it and change it and play with it.
Okay.
So don't worry about time. But just make sure that you have something out there that you're going to.
Okay.
All
That's
right?
really great, yes.
Okay,
yeah,
because you have all the tools and all the techniques and you have all the capacities to get there. It's just that if you panic and your self-image shrinks.
Yeah, that's been happening.
Right, and if you start seeing yourself as being lesser or incapable of something or having a difficulty or, you know, dealing with life or, oh my gosh, I'm aging and I'm behind. Anytime you get into fear, your auric field just shrinks down and you get small. And when you get small, your reality gets small too.
Yeah.
So keep expanding your self-image. Keep claiming that self you want to land into about a year from now. Keep claiming
Great.
That. Keep pulling that here to the present in your imagination.
Great. That sounds
All right?
really good. Yeah.
So that you have some kind of bridge that takes you through this unknown. Because otherwise, the unknown is too scary. Because what have you been taught by your consensus reality to do when you face the unknown is to imagine the worst.
Yes.
Right? But what if you imagined the best? Right?
Yeah.
Just put that in your hopper, you see? And what if you anticipated that this unknown is going to bring you unexpected magic? and going to bring you opportunities of miracles. How's that for the unknown?
Do I need to be concerned about being in the resonance of fear or anxiety when I'm creating these images?
You mean when you're creating the images, you feel anxiety?
Well, I'm feeling it very physically now on a daily basis, and so I do want to put a grappling hook out there, but I'm concerned that it's very hard to do when you're sitting there in a puddle of anxiety.
Uh-huh, right, okay. All right, well, one of the aspects of those hot flashes with all the anxiety symptoms is that you've got an imbalance between your adrenal glands and your thyroid.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Now, the thyroid is saying, okay, is it time for me to do what I want to do yet? or am I under pressure still, as always, to do all the things I'm supposed to do or I should do or I have to do and do it urgently and fast and try to do it better than ever before? You see, so take the pressure performance off your thyroid.
Okay.
Just kind of love it. You may want to put your hands around your throat and just give beautiful, loving energy to your thyroid.
Wonderful.
Secondly, address those adrenal glands. Those adrenal glands have a big job to do. They're trying to take over the production of your estrogen and your hormones from your ovaries.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard job for them to do because on top of it, they've got all this fear about the future going on. So they're having to pump adrenaline in there.
Yeah.
So they get sidetracked doing all the adrenaline, and they can't get enough estrogen up there, which would calm down the adrenaline.
Huh.
So put your hands around the back or over your kidneys, because that's where the adrenals, they sit on the kidneys, are, and say, okay, dear adrenals, it's okay. We have all the time. Don't worry. You don't have to rush. You don't have to push. You don't have to drive. It's okay. I love you. We'll be a good team. You see?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm doing it now.
Now, all right. Now, how long have you been on the balanced hormonal program?
I haven't gotten on the balanced hormonal program yet. I'm just taking the progesterone cream until I get the saliva test and get the diagnosis, and then get started on that program. I suspect that I'm estrogen dominant.
Well,
even though my estrogen is low, I suspect it's dominant because I've created cysts in the past.
All right. Well, actually, the cysts there are not necessarily, not always estrogen. The cysts may also be lymphatic drainage.
Okay.
Lymphatic drainage is a release of emotions, old emotion and old debris. And part of your detox that you've gone through is trying to release that.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then you go through periods of trying to release that. But old emotions get stuck sometimes and they don't get flushed out and they can become cystic.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So we would recommend that as soon as feasible to do the testing and to get going on the estrogen part, because right now you're taking too much progesterone for your estrogen, you know? You've got to get it balanced.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
And that'll make a difference. You also will sleep better and your body temperature will normalize. Your thyroid will go, oh, thank you.
Yeah, wonderful.
All right?
Oh, thank you so much, Alexis. I'm really very grateful. Thank you.
You're certainly welcome, dear one. And before we close with you, we want to announce anyone else who wants to call in to feel free to dial in as we complete this for another question on any topic. And so, dear one, think about that this is a year for you, a year of freedom from the old.
Yes.
You see, you've been, in a sense, up to menopause, you're in a sense a programmed creature of your culture. There's a certain patterns that women are expected to carry with them, certain burdens, certain energy, certain overloads, certain servitude, all sorts of stuff, right?
Yeah.
And as you go into menopause, you're free of that. You're entering
really
your wisdom years. What's that?
Yes. really looking forward to that.
Right, the old programs are over.
Yeah.
Right. And just think of this as your celebration of freedom.
Terrific. Wonderful. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. I love
recognize
you so much,
also
Alexis.
That menopause takes a number of years to unfold. And there's lots of interesting places in the journey as you become more confident and more happy and more successful and make this shift about time. And then you have more peace with time. Then you'll see the aging, quote unquote, the aging symptoms reducing.
Okay.
You know, why not youth instead of age?
I'll take it.
All right. All right. Thank you, dear one.
Thank you so much. I love you.
Thank you, dear one. We do feel that. All right. Farewell.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. And so as you can tell that, you know, there's a lot of programs that come with your culture. And these are worldwide programs. Probably the most powerful, ingrained programs come with gender. And gender issues around the area of success, fulfillment, love, etc., all come with caveats, all come with conditions that your culture tends to give to you. And so often when a woman enters into puberty, then she enters into the company of women, expected to do what women do, expected to be as other women. There's a certain program for her. Same with men. When they enter that puberty period, they enter the culture. When they join the culture, there is all this stuff that they have to take on for their identity. They have to figure out how to be a woman, how to be a man, how to function in the culture according to the gender roles that are given them. But it's in older age, when that past 50, that period where women actually naturally go into their menopausal years, and men's hormones also begin to decrease. They don't have the same drives and same pressures and expectations as earlier. Some people by that time who've had children are grandparents, and some people are who have not had children are then, in a sense, feeling even more liberated to go and do and be whatever they want to be, wherever they want to be. And there are even certain cultures, for example, in India, that a woman is very much a second-class citizen throughout all her, what you might call her breeding period. But when she reaches menopause, many women that are in favorable economic situations will go back to school, get a degree, and go have a professional career. You see, so it depends on how you want to work the timings that your culture gives you, because there's not really any reason to have to still be worried about your, you know, glorious appearance and whether you look sexy or not when you're, you know, 55. It's time for you to think about, okay, how loving can I be? How much of my wisdom can I radiate? How much, you know, truth can I express? How much of myself can I enjoy and relish in and celebrate? So that's what we would suggest to look at as far as your last period of your life, to put that in to the hopper. And it's an unknown, because right now on the planet there's a lot of traditions are changing, a lot of breakdown of cultural paradigms as people are seeking new ways of being and new ways of doing things. As women find that they have children later and later or not at all, and that they have the freedom to explore a different kind of life than their mothers and grandmothers and so forth. And men finding that there's an opportunity for them to free themselves of the whole burden of masculinity and the pressure of machohood that was put on them in the culture. You know, a man is expected to compete, and he's expected to be strong and take charge and make the decisions. And, you know, it seems that, if he's feeling that he's failed in any of these regards, that he feels a failure as a man. It's very hurtful. It's very shameful. He's very, and it can make him very, very hostile. You have a lot of hostile men trying to kind of put out more macho energy than they really should be putting out, much more anger and rage over the pressure to be a success that they have not felt that they could achieve. So there's a gap between what they see themselves as being and what they see that they can achieve. That's why we said earlier at the beginning, it's so important to expand your self-image. When you're doing anything that you want to lead to a place of success, a place of fulfillment, you want to have an image that can contain it. And for a woman, an image of, what is it, a postmenopausal woman being free to be herself, to express herself, to glory in herself, when her culture thinks of, well, an old woman, who needs an old woman? They're just a burden, they're not very useful anymore, they're not taking care of everybody anymore, you know, what do we want with an old woman? And old women don't tend to have that much value in the culture. But things are changing now. All right. Just a moment. Things are changing, so the opportunities for new images of who she can be have come to her. Same thing with a man, to step outside of that macho paradigm and to see what is an idea of a man being able to fulfill his full potential at age 70, rather than thinking he's over the hill and not worth anything. Because he's not Mr. Superstar and ultra rich, you see. So there's a great opportunity going on the planet. All right. So let's take this caller. Hello, this is Galexis.
Hi, Galexis, it's Jane.
Well, hello, Jane. What a pleasure to speak with you again.
And you. It's great. I enjoy it. And Connie's questions and your answers and your discussions have been just wonderful tonight. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
My question is similar. I'm dealing with issues of body, and I'm just marveling at the synchronicity, how we're tying together. But regarding success, one of the things I've realized is this year I'm having much more success with dealing with my physical body. I never was able to really have the healing results and, all these things. And now I've been doing a detox program, losing weight. All of these things. It's been wonderful to some of my pain leaving. It's been great to have that. And so I appreciate your discussion earlier, and I'm treating my body as a project for
yes.
success.
Yes, there you go.
So it's really great to hear that. And then Connie's question was right on, and your discussion about gender just now, too, and whatnot. One of the things I've created is, what I'm dealing with, is kidney stone, and I'd like your read on it. I think, for me, it feels like releasing old hurt, anger, and rage and stuff that's coming out of me.
Yes.
And it relates a lot, I think, to issues of anger and rage, being a woman in the culture and misogyny and all those things. So I feel like I'm really releasing and letting go of a lot now.
Good.
Releasing pounds. Yeah, so I just wanted your read on that and to see if I'm on track, and I'm hoping that they're dissolving and turning into nice little things that won't be really painful as I release.
Well, release doesn't have to be painful. The reason that releases are painful when they are is because they come with little resistances, so you have to put extra energy into the release to overcome the resistances to the release. And when that happens, it's kind of like a spike of energy that you have to push against yourself, so to speak, to push yourself over a release point. And we're going to be doing a workshop on the art of letting go in the next few weeks. On that, and we're going to go into detail on how to let go without this kind of painful, as you kind of feel it almost wrenched out of you or something like that. The most important thing to recognize in being able to release that stuff and get it really out of there is to recognize that the self that you claim yourself to be, that you see yourself as becoming, is such a self that very lovingly if this self were to experience any of these downsides or any of these setbacks or any of these resistances, that she would be able to continue to love herself completely while she is, like, laughing, perhaps, let's say, a sense of humor about letting it go, all right? So we would suggest that when it comes time to do some releasing, and as, if you know of what it is that you desire to release, let it go in humor, okay?
Yeah.
All right? Because we can see that you've worked on this, and in the past sometimes you have done it too seriously, right? You've taken the work so seriously, and then you've made it a project with a goal, sense of a goal, and then you're judging your criterion as to how well you're doing on as far as how you rate as on this in relationship to the goal, and you can get into this kind of self-judging kind of thing. One of the reasons that you're doing so much better with your body this year is because you're not judging your body like you used to. You notice?
Yes, I am noticing that change.
You're befriending your body. You're giving your body something that it wants.
Yes.
You know, bodies really just don't want to sit at the computer all day. They don't want to sit on the sofa and watch TV all day. Your body doesn't want these things. They don't want to be forced to go to the gym and do repetitive exercises either.
Yes, right.
All right. They despise repetitive exercises. Boring, says the body. When are we going to get to dance? When are we going to get to flow? When are we going to get to really move energy through the whole body system and just kind of feel like the energy moving through is just flushing out all the stiffness and rigidity and resistance and all the stuck energies? When am I going to feel free to move, says the body, you see? So one of the things you've done this year is had a better balance with you and your body. You've given it more opportunity to do things it wants to do. You notice?
Yes, I do. Definitely.
And so your body...
As far as even...
Yes?
Yeah, I was going to say, even like when I'm, rest cycles, like if I feel like I need to sleep, I sleep. If I feel like it's time to get up, I'm getting up.
I've been
nurturing myself in between jobs and stuff. It's been really, really amazing.
Right, and your body is starting to trust you a little bit. You know, in the past you've made, plans and, I'm going to do this and I'm going to lose weight and I'm going to do that way and I'm going to do this really good diet and I'm going to blah, 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 blah. And what happened?
Right, and I would lose momentum.
You'd lose momentum. You'd crash. You'd think, this isn't working and I don't want to. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired of doing this. And grumble,
yes.
Grumble, grumble. You know, I'm tired of being a slave to my body, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And you saw.
It was always a struggle.
It was a struggle. And so the body would say, caring for me is always such a struggle. And then she makes these promises and she doesn't follow through on them. So how can I trust her, says the body.
Right. Interesting.
But because you've been much more consistent now, and listening to your body and allowing for your body, you're taking this break in between jobs in a very positive way for your healing and restoration. And so the challenge for you is going to be when your next job begins, how you are going to be able to balance your body with that and talk to your body and negotiate with your body. Okay, body, we're going to have to do this job, and this job's going to entail sitting down for so many hours and so on. And so what we're going to do is we're going to balance it out. And what would you like to do in the other hours? How could we make it work so that you're a happy camper?
Excellent.
You see. So start thinking about that right now so that you don't, get scared, and so you don't pass that fear onto your body of saying, oh, no, as soon as a job shows up, all this wonderful nurturing is history.
Right. Fabulous. Thank you for that, because I think I'm starting work next week.
Oh, well, fantastic. So let the body anticipate that it's going to work out really great. Don't scare the body. It's like, oh, no, in the past, when she worked, she always prioritized work, and I was always last on the list.
Yeah.
You see. So this time, you and the body negotiate so that even when you're doing errands, your body can really enjoy, going to the store and buying food. your body can enjoy that, actually.
Excellent.
Yeah, let yourself be present with it and let it just feel the movement and feel the freedom and feel the joy of that, you see.
Wonderful.
Right. Yeah, and then letting go, you know, you nurture your body and let your body relax and rest and so on, and then just kind of you and your body together, just breathe together and just breathe it out. Just think, okay, I want to let go of this old pattern, and you think about the pattern you want to let go, and you and the body just lie back on the sofa there, and you do some breathing, and you just kind of let it go, let it go. Let it go, and just let the body just take it out of all the cells and just let it go with every breath and just keep letting it go. The intention is probably the most important thing there.
Yeah.
Right? Excellent. Because the body's really would be willing to let it go. Bodies would be happy to get rid of some of those burdens that's been carrying them for you for years.
Yeah.
Let's get them out of there, says the body. That'd be great.
Yeah.
But you just want to be
that
very
what the
gentle.
Stone is.
But
is that the kidney stone? Is that what the kidney stone is about too? Is the letting go of burdens like
right?
That?
And there's also some old. There's lots of the kidney stones have a lot to do with dear ones with fear of the future.
Oh.
And your resistance to the future for fear that it's going to be unpleasant.
Oh wow. Okay.
And then there's a rage about the past at situations. In the past that were unpleasant, that you've probably, in your imagination, projected into the future. As we said earlier, you know, in the consensus reality, when there's a void out there in the future, you generally are trained to anticipate the worst.
Yes.
Or imagine what horrible things could happen.
Yes.
And where are you going to get that imagination? But it's going to be pay things you didn't like in the past and amplify them and throw them into the future.
Right.
All right. Now, what does that do to your body? Your body's stuck between the past and the future. It's
right.
Angry and feels powerless about the past. And then it's angry and fearful and powerless about the future. And so it kind of gets in a stuck place. Calcium means that there's a stuckness.
Okay.
You're stuck in between. You see?
Yes.
All right, now on a physical basis, it's really interesting that you call in too, because this would indicate that I need to get your hormones balanced again and get your
right,
mineral.
I really appreciate it. Connie's question a lot.
Right, if you get your hormones and your minerals balanced, then that will pretty much, you know, help the physical aspect of this be able to relax, to not have to kind of congeal that calcium there, you know?
Right.
But you want to like release yourself from the burden of the past and the fear of the future, because in a sense they're both imprisonments.
They're both what was that?
Imprisonments.
Oh, imprisonment, yes.
They're traps.
Yeah.
Right? And so you want to think, hey, look, I'm floating free right now. There's this incredible future. I don't know exactly all the details about it, but I'm going to anticipate that it's miraculous. I'm going to anticipate that there's going to be a lot of pleasure and a lot of fun and a lot of joy in it. And so I'm just going to be free and open, and I'm free.
Yeah.
To dream something different now. And body, we're going to do it together.
Excellent.
All right, dear one. Thank you so much for your question.
Thank you as always. Much
all
fun.
Right. You're very welcome, dear one. That's the end of the questions, and we need to get going. The show is coming to a close. We're going to leave and let the channel come back. And we just want to remind you that if you want to expand your self-image, make it a practice, make it a habit to tell yourself and remind yourself of who you are. Keep that self-image up. If you have difficulty doing that, just go to our website, thegalexisspirit.com. And as you go onto the home page, a message will appear, will rise up. Read that message every day. Follow that. That will help you establish a greater self-image so that you can have more success and your future can be far more interesting and fun. All right, dear ones, farewell for now. There'll be a few seconds and then the channel will be back. Hi, I'm back. This is Ginger, and I'm glad that you tuned in today. I hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back on the air for our next show May 7th. That's the same time, same station. That's 6:55 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time on BBS Radio. So we'll see you then, and may your life be joyous and empowered. And if you want to hear this show again, you can let us know, and we can sell this show to you, a copy of it, or just go to the archives and tap into the show and all the previous shows we've had and other marvelous shows on BBS Radio. So have a wonderful time, and we'll be with you 2 weeks from today. Bye-bye.